Psalm 77, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? In his mercy is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercy, Selah? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd bless our message this morning. Help me as I preach, dear God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, in response to your greatness, Lord, you would cause us to want to, with all of our hearts in this coming year, Lord, show our appreciation to you for what you've done for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to direct your attention back to verse number 14. That's the verse I'm going to preach out of. Thou art the God that doest wonders. I'm sorry, verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Who is so great a God as our God? I'm going to preach on this subject this morning. I'm going to take that word so and chase it around in the Bible a little bit. The Bible says there, who is so great a God as our God? So I think I'm going to preach on the subject of so-and-so. So-and-so. I don't know if that's unique to Southern Indiana or not, but it seems like if we can't think of somebody's name and we're trying to talk to somebody, and you know who I'm talking about. You know, so-and-so, he drives the blue truck, you know, he's got the three coon dogs, and you know, I'm talking about so-and-so, you know. And either that, or if we're trying to describe an object, then we're, you know, that whatchamacallit. I'm looking for the, what are you looking for? I'm looking for the whatchamacallit. And my wife, that's helpful, you know. So-and-so, whatchamacallit. And so I want to talk about that word so this morning, so-and-so. Look at verse number 13 again. The last part of that verse says this, who is so great a God as our God? And I love that little word, so. You know, we could have, the Lord could have had the psalmist write down that God is a great God. But he said, no, he's not just a great God. He's so great a God. So great a God. So, preacher, what's the difference between great and so great? Well, I don't know. I was trying to think of how to explain this. I like ice cream. And so I like just about any kind of ice cream. If you gave me a little packaged ice cream bar, I'd unwrap it, start eating. I'd say, man, this is good. This is good. Now, if you bought me like a little tin of, you know, is it Breyers? Breyers with B-R, Breyers. And, you know, it's got the chocolate chunks and the cherries in it and all of that. Then I'd eat it and I'd say, man, this is great.
That bar was good. This is great. But every once in a while, when Dad Whittington gets out the homemade ice cream maker and he makes his homemade ice cream, I go over there and I'll get a bowl of it and I'll set. And I like it where it's melted a little bit, okay? I mean, I kind of wait till it melts. This is going to sound crazy, but if it's too firm, I have taken a bowl of homemade ice cream and stuck it in the microwave just for about 4 or 5 seconds, just to get that little, you know, melted part around it. And I eat from the outside in, and I'll take that, I'll put it in my mouth, and it's like I don't want to swallow it because there's no taste buds in your stomach. So what? You know, those of you that like stick something in your mouth and you swallow it, you're wasting the most important part of eating. And so I'll just put it in my mouth and then I spread it out because there's taste buds in a lot of different areas of the mouth. And so I'll spread it out everywhere and just sit there. And then I'll say, and I don't know why, but I enjoy food more when my eyes are closed. I'm not distracted by what I'm seeing. I'm just focused on, and I'll say, oh, this is so good. Amen. This is so good. You can go to Walmart and buy an apple pie. And if you serve it, I'll eat it because I like apple pie. And I'll say, man, this is good. Because even a Walmart apple pie is good. Then I'll go to a church get-together, and some of the ladies will have made apple pies, and I'll get a piece of one of them, and I'll start eating it, and I'll say, man, this is great. This is great. But then I go home. Sorry, guys. Sorry, ladies. But when I go home, and my wife bakes an apple pie, and I cut a big slice of it, and then I put it in a microwave, and I warm it up. Okay, and then if we have ice cream, you know, hopefully Dad Whittington's got some left over, you know, put that on top of it. Then I've got hot apple pie, cold ice cream melting on it. And then I know this is going to sound gross. I'm so sorry. But I always go over to the refrigerator and open and get the gallon of milk and pour a little bit of milk on top of it. Listen, if you haven't tried it, I don't want to hear that, okay? If you have, don't knock it if you've never tried it. Then I take a bite of it, and you know, it's got the melted ice cream, it's got the hot pie, it's got the milk on top of it, and I take a bite, and I close my eyes, and I spread it out everywhere in my mouth, and I say, this is so good. This is so great. Are you with me? Folks, we don't just have a good God. We don't just have a great God. We've got a so great God. My wife always looks good. She always looks good. And most every day I'll tell her that. I'll say, well, you look pretty today. And then sometimes she'll have spent a little more time. And I'll say, man, you look beautiful. But every once in a while, she just takes a little extra time. And she's just got maybe a new outfit. And she'll have gotten ready, and she comes out. We're getting ready to go somewhere. And I'll look up, and it's like I've seen her for the first time. Are you enjoying this? I've seen her for the first time. This is fun, man. I mean, this is almost as good as ice cream. All right? So. And I'll say, just stop sometimes, she'll look at me, what? And I'll say, you are so beautiful. And I said that to her the other day. We were getting ready to go to town. She's like, no, really, I'm not. I said, no, you are so beautiful. And she says, your eyesight's just going, you know. That's the great thing about getting old is, you know, even though we're deteriorating from the outside, we don't really notice it because we can't see either. So it's just, I'll say, and this was the funniest thing. So we're arguing to the car about whether or not she's beautiful. And then we go all the way and we get to the first store and we walk in the store, and she knows this is true. And a mother had a little 5 or 6 year old boy, and we walk by him and I said, hello. And my wife said, hello. And he looks at me and he looks at my wife. He says, hello. And then he walks past us and he said, "Mama, she's beautiful." End of argument. What do you got to say now? I leaned back over my shoulder and said, "So, you're supposed to say so beautiful." You know, folks, listen to me. God is not just great. God is so great. Aren't you glad that you know a so great God? And I got to thinking about this word "so" in connection to God. And then have you ever, you know, I talk about doing Google searches with your Bible program, and you put this word in and you can read every verse in the Bible that's got it. Try the word "so." Okay, there's a lot of verses that have "so" in it. But I thought, well, I'm going to at least scan them and see what I can find out about this. And I was looking not just for where "so" is used in maybe a typical fashion, but where "so" is used to heighten the descriptive power. And so as I'm going through these verses and reading them, I mean, come on, how far do we have to go? But the first one I didn't even have to look to. What are you thinking of when you think of the word "so"? What verse comes to mind? John 3:16. I thought, you know what? For God so loved. He could have just put "love" there, but our so great God doesn't just love us, he so loves us. And so I studied that out and I thought to myself, that's kind of neat. It's not the only place. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, not as just his good love, his great love wherein he loved us. So we have he so loved us in John 3:16. We have that it's a great love in Ephesians chapter 2. And then 1 John 4:11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us," he didn't just love us, he so loved us. That means when he does looks down at you, he doesn't just say, "Oh, that's good." He doesn't look down at you and just say, "Oh, that's great." He doesn't look down and say, "Well, I kind of like him. I'm kind of fond of him." I mean, folks, you know what? He so loves us, which means he takes the time to focus on us and think about us. And it wells up in his great heart, a heart that has an infinite capacity of love. And he reaches the pinnacle of all that God is and looks down at you and looks down at me and says, "I so love them." So our so great God so loves us. You're in Psalms, sneak over to Psalms 103. And I found this word. So great is his mercy. I saw this little phrase, so great is his mercy. In Psalms 103, look at verse number 11. Psalms 103, verse number 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. So great is his mercy. Now, are you with me now? Listen, we don't have an average God. We don't have a God like the heathen makes. I was going to read this to you. But you know what, folks? When we talk about this so great God, you know what? You can get in a plane and you can go to any part of this world and you'll find somebody worshiping something. But you know what they've chosen to worship is usually and almost always a creation of themselves. They've created their God. Isaiah mocks this idea. In Isaiah 44, who hath formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Now think about this. If you're able to make your god, that's not much of a god. Right. He goes on to say, "Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen that are of men, let them be all gathered together, let them stand up, yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals and fashioneth with the hammers and worketh it with the strength of his arms." They're making gods with the strength of their own arms. Think about that. "Yea, he is hungry and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule, maketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. He marketh it out with a compass, maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in his house." So you've got somebody working metal, and they're making a god. You got a carpenter that takes a piece of wood and by the strength of his own arm and his own wisdom forms a god. Verse 14 of Isaiah 44, "He heweth down cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengthened for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourisheth it.
Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. He said, you know what? The same wood that he cuts down for firewood to warm himself, he kindleth it and baketh bread. The same wood that he gets a fire and bakes bread with, he maketh a god out of the residue of that. He maketh and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part in the fire, and with part he eateth flesh. He roasteth the roast and is satisfied. He warmeth himself and says, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a little G-God. Even his graven image, he falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. Folks, is mankind crazy or what? And see, every other God that's ever been worshipped except our God, man has created that God, whether they created it with their hand or created it in their mind. So everybody that's not worshiping Jehovah God is worshiping a God they created. I'm glad that we worship a God who created us. He's not just a great God. He's so great a God. And we see here in the Bible that he is a so great God, and he so loved us, and he so extended his mercy to us. So great is his mercy. Not just great is his mercy. So great is his mercy. Are you at verse number 11 there? Psalms 103. How great is his mercy, preacher? Psalms 103, verse 12. Look at the next verse. As far as the east is from the west. What's the next word? So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So with his so great mercy, he decides to take my sins and separate me from my sins, not just far away, but so far away. How far is so far? As far as east is from the west. Now, folks, that's a long way. Now, think about this. We're going somewhere. And then this so great God who so loved us and has so great mercy then offers to us a so great salvation. We read in Hebrews 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them. And I was thinking about this. I was looking at our theme. We're kicking off tonight. Brand new theme, 45th anniversary. God is so good. God is not just good, he's so good. You know why? Because he's a so great God who so loved us and had so great a mercy, and he sent his son to produce and offer to us a so great salvation. You think about that. If God is a so great God, and if he loved us with a so great love, and if our so great God has extended unto us his so great mercy, and if our so great God offers to us a so great salvation, which includes removing our sins so far from us, doesn't it make sense that we should offer back to him a few sows of our own? A few sows of our own. As I'm chasing this word through the Bible and finding all these wonderful things about God, I then begin to find these sows that are nestled in here and there, and they are spoken in response from a man to God. Listen, folks, God is a so great God. He so loved you. He so extended his mercy to you. He offers you a so great salvation. And if you've taken that salvation, you know what? Why don't we kind of return some things in 2018? Let's take a look at some of them. I have you turn in some of these. Go to Psalms 42, verse number 1. Psalm 42, verse number 1. David was a man after God's own heart. He knew all about this so great God, but he wanted to offer a God a so of his own. In Psalms 42, verse number 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. You know, with God and all that he is and all that he's done for us, don't you think, number one, we should so desire to spend time with him in 2018? I don't mean just desire. I mean so desire to spend time. David says, as the hart, it's talking about the deer there, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O Lord. Lord, I don't just desire you a little bit. I desire you a lot. You know the little chorus that is tied to the verse, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. Help me sing it. And he will hear my voice. He will hear my voice. Evening and morning and at noon. You know something? You don't have to set your timer. You don't have to set an alarm on your watch or your phone to remind you to stop what you're doing and seek God. If your heart so panteth for the Lord. You know what? Let me just remind you of this. I believe that God deserves to hear our voice in the morning, but I don't think he ought to be left there at the end of our morning devotions. Let me encourage everybody, establish in 2018, if you haven't done this, establish your morning devotions. What does that mean, preacher? That means every morning when you get up, before you take off into your workaday world, before you take off with your busy schedule, you know what? Start out by seeking the Lord. You know what? He was willing to seek us. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It's amazing. When we were lost, God spent all of that time seeking us, seeking us, seeking us, seeking us, and then we get saved. And you know what? I think he has a right then to say, now you could supposed to spend the rest of your life seeking me. And yet it seems like even in our saved state, a lot of times God spends most of his time chasing after. Oh, stop. 2018 can be different. Why don't we just decide to say, you know what, God, I'm not going to just desire you and desire to spend time with you and desire to read your Bible and desire to pray. I'm going to so desire it. I'm going to so pant for you. As the deer panteth after the water brooks. You know the song, I Come to the Garden Alone? You just can't beat the old hymns. Help me sing that, okay? I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. I can't understand why God so wants to spend time with me, but I don't think he can understand why sometimes I don't so want to spend time with him. We get so busy. Folks, I don't know what you're going to face every single day of 2018, but I know this. It's going to be a lot easier, whatever's waiting you in that day, if you spend the first part of that day with the Lord. I'm talking about just developing a Bible reading time. You know, folks, if you just take an average Bible with the page numbers, it don't have to be exactly the same as mine. It ought to be the same Bible, though. Hey, listen, don't waste your time reading any other Bible but a King James Bible, all right? And if you have questions about that, come and talk to me. I'll help you with that. If you need a King James Bible, I'll get you a King James Bible. But listen, you know what? Very easy. 5 pages a day. If you'll read 5 pages a day, 5 pages a day. By the way, you can read out loud that amount of Bible in about 10 minutes. I'm talking about if you read it out loud at what I call pulpit speed. In less than 10 minutes, you can read 5 pages of the Bible. And you know what? If you do that every day in 2018, you know what? You can read through the Bible in an entire year. Now, we're talking about 10 minutes of our time. Come on. I mean, we take 10 minutes to check up on, you know, the sports on ESPN, we got to go. We can spend 20, 30 minutes, some of you 5-6 hours a day watching Fox News. And it's the same stories over and over and over and over, you know.
Come on, I'm going to stand before God one of these days and God's going to say, you know, you couldn't have read through my book one time a year? Hey, what about this? You know what? If it's 10 minutes a day to read through it one time, wonder if you took 20 minutes. Have you ever read through the Bible twice in a year? Some of you that have done the one time, say, well, preacher, that's 20 minutes. That's right, 20 minutes. That's nothing. Come on, you'll talk on your cell phone most days longer than 20 minutes a day. Let's be honest. I'm just saying this. You know what? Why is it that our heart doesn't pant, desire, so desire to spend time with the Lord? Can I ask you an honest question? I'm going to tell you what's true. I found out true in my life. If I'm kind of avoiding the Lord, His Word, and my prayer time, there's usually a reason I'm avoiding it. Okay? You ever done something against somebody and you know that you did it in your heart and you don't really want to see them the next time, and have you broke a rule at home or been a monster and your mom says, wait till dad gets home, and when dad gets home, you really don't want to see your dad or spend much time with him because the thing is, instead of avoiding the issue and avoiding those questions and avoiding the Bible and prayer time, why not just go to God and say, God, what is it in my heart that's so lacks a hunger and a thirst? I mean, this psalmist wrote that his heart panteth as the deer panteth for the water. That desert climate outside of Bethlehem, and those small deer would get so thirsty, and you know what, they, when it came time to get a drink, they were going to go, and nothing was going to stop them. And where is our heart for God? Hey, we've got a so great God who so loved us and gave us so great mercy and provided us so great salvation and removed our sins so far from us. Shouldn't we be able to give Him a few souls? Let's go on. There's a lot of them here. There's a lot of them. Go to Acts chapter 14. We'll share 4 or 5 with you. Acts chapter 14. Every morning get up and read the Bible. Every morning. Spend a little time praying. Spend some time. Get you a prayer list. I don't know what to pray about. Write some things down. Every morning I'm going to ask God about these things. I'm going to pray for these people. Just spend some time with the Lord. I think He loves it. I think He loves it. Number one, we've seen that we have a so great God and that we ought to so desire to spend time with Him. All right. Let's go secondly to Acts. I've lost my place here. I'm getting it. Here we go. Acts chapter 14. Are you there? And verse number 1. I love this little verse. When I found this, I got so excited. Acts 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And what's the next word? So spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. They so spake. How did they speak? They so spake. I want you to think about that. They so spake. The Bible says that they so spake that there was a result. Came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake. We're talking about Paul and Barnabas here. So spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. And I got to thinking, you know what? We've got this so great God that so loved us and gave us this so great mercy and provided so great salvation and removed our sins so far from us. And in 2018, should we so speak the gospel to the lost? Not just speak the gospel to the lost, but so speak the gospel to the lost. I want you to let that sink in a minute, all right? They so spake. They didn't just speak, they so spake. I've heard guys preach and said, man, they preached. Then I've heard guys preach a different time and said, man, they really preached. Are you with me? Are you thinking about this? Come on, you've heard that. Well, they were on tonight. They so spake tonight. They didn't just speak. They so spake tonight. I've heard somebody give a testimony and listen to him speak. And then I've listened to a testimony and said, man, he so spake. So spake. What's the difference? Is it a different set of vocabulary words? Is it just the rearrangement of the phrases, just phraseology? What is it?
that separates somebody that speaks the gospel and so speaks the gospel? I think that the Holy Spirit of God's given you the answer, isn't he? You see, folks, what the difference is whether or not it just comes out of duty and it comes from our mind and it's just memorized words and it's just something we have to do or something we can't not do. Let me introduce you to a word that we need to get back into our Christian lives. How about deciding that you're going to witness with a passion for souls and a passion for the Savior? I want to help some of you. I mean, this will help Blessed Hope Baptist Church, help everybody. I'm not in your Sunday school class, so. But think about this. This morning, did you teach or did you so teach? Okay, we have children's church and primary church. Are you teaching and preaching, or are you so teaching and so preaching? Let me tell you, the people that make an eternal difference in other people's lives is not people standing up just saying what they should say, but saying what they can't stop from saying. And listen, there's nothing. Well, how does this connect? You go stand before God, and you go to this great God, and you're reminded about his great love, and you spend time in his great, so great book, so great God, so great love. And you read it, and you're reminded of his so great mercy and how he so separated our sins from us, so far from us, and the so great of salvation. You spend that time, and your heart gets full of it, and it's almost like you can't then wait to find the first lost person to tell about it. And I'm thinking of the opportunities that we have in 2018, folks, not to just speak. Listen, folks, are you even speaking about Christ? If you're not even speaking about Christ, then let's speak about him. But let me tell you something. It doesn't do much good just to speak. There's something about so speaking about him. There's a difference between somebody that's going through the mechanics of soul winning and somebody else that's telling somebody else about Jesus Christ and what he means for them and how he transformed their life. These men had an opportunity to share the gospel, and you know what? They did it with a passion. Acts 26, we read the story of Paul standing before Festus and standing before Agrippa, and Festus didn't appreciate Paul's passionate declaration of the gospel. Festus says with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth of these things before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." And then, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." And Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou," what's the next word? "Persuadest me to be a Christian." You know what? Why Paul was a great soul winner? He had the same gospel we have. But do we have the same passion he had? Boy, you got a great opportunity. Listen, where's the tears gone, Sunday school teacher? Is it just become, let's see, I'll set my alarm, get up at 7:30, have my coffee at 8 o'clock, quickly read through my lesson book. Haven't touched it all week. Haven't done any preparation. Haven't prayed over it. Haven't made the truce mine. I don't have any passion, no love. Haven't prayed over the kids. Haven't lifted their name up to heaven. Folks, listen to me. The only way we can see the amazing things that I think God wants us to see is if we look at a God who is a so great God. Hey, preacher, you keep repeating this. I'm going to repeat it till you get it. Who so loved us and has so great mercy. And that he removed our sins so far from us and gives us a so great salvation. And why is it that God is more passionate about us than we are passionate about him? Man, a lot, you can get some guys talking about sports and they transform, they light up. Their eyes are glistening, they're into it. You get somebody else talking about a hobby that they have and man, a lot, their eyes light up. And then you bring up the subject of the Lord and everybody just gets quiet. And listen, if we're going to make a difference, then we have to make a difference in not just speaking the gospel, but how we speak the gospel. Are you teaching that class in such a way those kids are convinced that you believe what you're teaching and you live what you're teaching and it's a part of who you are? Or is it just a bunch of words on an outline and
another dry Sunday school lesson, and we wonder why lives aren't being transformed. Listen, that's true in our speaking opportunities within this ministry. And by the way, that can go to the nursing home. Come on, stop letting the nursing home just be a duty. When's the last time you got excited about? I think those older folks would be excited to see you get excited, amen. Don't excite them too much, but you know, they would be excited to get you, to see you get excited about it. If we're not excited about it, why should they get excited about it? If a lost person, if we're not passionate about the gospel, why should they pay any attention to it? Well, I think we need to get in our Bibles and pray until a fire begins to light in our hearts. And you know what? I believe that when that fire begins to burn and we begin to spend time before God and before His altar, and we are overcome with His greatness. So great a God, so loved us, so great mercy, so far our sins are removed, so great a salvation. And we let some of that get into our soul, then we can be so great of a soul winner, so great of a Sunday school teacher, so great of a preacher, not because of who we are, but because of the passion and the excitement about the message that God's given us to give. Amen. Amen. He loves us with a so great love. Listen, God stepped up and He's done His part. So we should so desire to spend time with Him. And after we do, we should then so speak the gospel to the lost. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Preacher, it's too cold to be excited. Amen, amen. Wait on March, I'll get excited. Amen. Let's get excited now for the Lord. Let's get excited now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Fascinating verses at the end of this chapter. Fascinating verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says in verse number 22, 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak became I weak that I may gain the weak. I have made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Sounds like he was passionate about it. Sounds like he was being willing to do whatever he had to do. Sounds like he took time to associate and understand the people he was trying to reach. He says, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? What's the next word? So run that ye may obtain. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things, but they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore, there it is again, what's that word? So run, not as uncertainly. Now stay with me, okay? In 2018, every one of us have a race to run. In 2017, you had a race to run too. Did you run the race? Did you run that race? Did you so run that race? Did you walk that race? Did you ignore that race? Did you sit out on the sideline, watch everybody else race? What are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to get your hearts ready for vision night. That's what I'm trying to do. I feel like I'm kind of up here by myself, but I'm trying to get my heart, I'm trying to get your hearts ready. Listen, folks, you know what? God was passionate in His determination to reach me and you and bring us back into fellowship with Him. And it's disturbing to me when I see so little passion in those that claim to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We're not just supposed to run this race next year. We're supposed to so run it. So run the race that you may obtain. I therefore so run. How can we read this and not be reminded of what it says in Hebrews chapter 12? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, amen. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now listen, I'm going to try tonight to get a lot of you in the race that aren't in the race. I'm going to get some of you that are in the race to guide it and that are running to decide to so run. You know, nothing's bothered me in sports, and I played a little sports growing up. Not a lot of organized things. A lot, thank God, the old-fashioned neighborhood, get all the boys together, backyard, fight over the rules, you know, end up in a fist fight and everybody goes home, that kind of stuff, all right? I mean, you know, the good unorganized stuff, you know. You know what? Nothing bothered me more than picking a guy, putting a team together, coming up with the rules, playing the game, and look over and realize one of the guys isn't giving enough much effort. I mean, I'm killing myself to win, and that guy's just walking through it. Okay, I mean, you know, football. Okay, they want to talk about all this brain damage. Good night. Folks, listen to me. There was a lot of concussions that happened outside of the Ross's house, okay, in the backyard. I mean, you ever been, we call it getting your bell rung. Any guys in here ever got your bell rung playing sports? If you haven't, you need to. Matter of fact, that's the assignment this week, every one of you young men. If you have to run into a brick wall, whatever you got to do. I mean, we've been out there, we're playing sports, and you know what? We had a football. We didn't have flags. We couldn't afford flags. I mean, we didn't want flags. We wanted to tackle people, all right? I mean, if you take listen, I'm sick and tired of the sissification of football. And I'm going to preach against it right now. Either cancel it or have them wear dresses. But you know what? If you're going to play football, play football. Amen. All right, so we're in the back there. Do we have helmets on? No. We don't need helmets. Good night. I mean, come on, we don't need helmets. And buddy, I mean, you know what? When they said hike, there wasn't a guy out there. We'd anything. We're going to get the ball. We're going to tackle the guy. We're going to make a touchdown. And man, there's been a few times. I remember outside of the side yard when we lived over in Lewis, where you live now. Man, I got my bell rung right over in that. I mean, I don't know who hit me. I don't remember who was playing that day for the Lific. But I mean, you know, let me tell you kind of what it's like, okay? You get up and you know you've been hit hard, but you just really don't understand how hard. And man, the next play's going. So you get up and then you say, okay, I got to line up. And you know, and then you're kind of like on the wrong side. You know, you think you're on this team and someone puts you back over where you're supposed to be. And are you okay? And you're like, well, of course, you know. And everything's kind of fuzzy out here and the world's kind of going a little bit like this. And the guy calls the next play and you're trying to move and you tell your body what to do. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what has always made American men great. Wives, this is why you deal with what you deal with your husband on a daily basis, right? Because of how many times we got our bell rung, you know. You know, yeah, we're probably brain damaged. We'll admit it, but we do our best work when we're brain damaged, bless God, you know, so. You know, I think God's up in heaven's like, hey, is this real? Is there a hell? Is there a heaven? Didn't I give you the gospel? Didn't I give you a great commission? Look around your community. Isn't everybody pretty much going to hell? Why don't you run? Why aren't you so running? See, we say we believe a bunch of stuff that in our hearts we don't believe. We don't really believe. Now, come on. So many things that we would sit there and sign a piece of paper and swear that we believe it. If we looked at our lives, there's not enough evidence that we truly believe it. And so we're talking about running this race. Okay, you got another year, fresh, it doesn't matter. No reset, rewind button, I've told you that. Nothing you can do about the past, but you've got a new year. Man, 2018, why don't we just so run? So run. I wonder if we just treated 2018 as if it was going to be the last year, our last chance. Jesus is coming back. I wonder what we'd do. Give you one more here. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 1. We should so run the race that is set before us. Number 4, we should so stand fast in the Lord. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, so stand, not just stand fast. He didn't say stand fast in the Lord. He could have said stand fast in the Lord. He said, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So stand fast in the Lord. We're in a time when so many people are falling away. They're giving up on God. Not only are they not standing, they're certainly not so standing.
and they're not so standing fast. Bible predicts this. Sadly, it predicts it. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I say this, I've said it. If people are departing from the faith, that they're quitting God, quitting on church, you can come with me with any excuse you want to. I'm telling you the Bible reasons. The Bible says if they're doing it for two reasons, because they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And once you understand that this is a demonically charged attack against a new generation of Christians, trying to get them to quit on God and quit church and quit being involved in ministry, so that they can let the world go to hell. It's, listen, you didn't think of it. The devil told you to do it. It's not, you're not the first one that came up with it. I mean, Paul dealt with it when he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present. And it's the same reason. If you quit, you're going to quit for the same reason. But let's not quit. Let's not quit. So stand fast in the Lord. You're not going to do it without the armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're not meeting God in the morning. We're not putting on the armor. We're not spending time with God. We're not reading our Bible. We're not praying. And then we wonder why we're not standing. I'm going to ask you a question in a minute. Stay with me. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You realize the devil and the demons of hell, they're all pointed at you to get one thing accomplished in your life, to get you to quit on God, to get you to quit church, to get you to take your life and invest it in the world and love the world and turn your back. That's what the devil's all about. Okay? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in the high places. Wherefore, taking you to the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, comma, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know what? I've watched in my life a lot of old soldiers. Did you get that prayer request from Brother Hamlin about Brother Hamlin? Did you get that update through the prayer chain? I know it was like the size of a Shakespearean play, but I mean, did you see? Did you read it down far enough? This is the guy about a month ago. I drove all the way to the hospital down there in, not Louisville, but what's on the other side? What's that? New Albany. So that I could hug his neck and tell him goodbye. And tell him to give Dad a hug when he saw him, because I figured he'd be seeing him in a couple days. And I get this prayer request update on Brother Hamlin. And he's still under hospice care. Okay, do you know what that means? He's under hospice care. And then his daughter's catching us up on everything he's doing and said, well, you know, oh, by the way, he's gone out a couple times and preached. Wow. I mean, the doctors are mad at him. He's basically got this philosophy. If I can physically get to a vehicle and get from that vehicle into a church and get near a pulpit, I'm preaching. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? I don't know. I mean, that's the generation, young people, listen, that's the generation that were my heroes. They're still my heroes. You know, if all your heroes are quitters, maybe you ought to trade your group of heroes in for some real heroes. If all your heroes are used-to-bes, excuse makers, let me show you my owie, let me tell you why I can't, let me tell you my sad story. Then maybe you ought to get off those Facebook pages and stop hanging out with losers, because if you hang around quitters, you're going to end up being a quitter. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I thank God for just a generation of old men that went before me that, you know what, brother, they weren't looking for an excuse. I mean, you know what, they didn't call in, they crawled in. I mean, the job that needed to be done, they just did it.
Are you listening to? Are you getting this? There were no excuses. There wasn't, I can't. You just did it. Now listen, listen. What are you doing, preacher? Man, this is not the typical Sunday morning message. It's my introduction to tonight's message. The only way I could figure that we wouldn't be here for 4 hours tonight was to go ahead and just preach the introduction. And what I want to do is just encourage God's people. And I mean, I hope you're taking this as encouragement. Hey, preacher, good night, man. You've been pretty shotgun straight this morning. Somebody needs to be shotgun straight to this generation. I mean, go, listen, don't come to me and tell me why you can't. Go to the so great God who so loved you and showed you so great mercy and removed your sins so far from you as the east is to the west and provided you a so great salvation. And then you go tell him why you can't give him any effort in 2018 because you got your issues, problems, priorities all messed up. Too busy floundering in carnality and involved in everything but God's work. And gee, Lord, I'm sorry, so great God. Sunday night's an awful lot to ask. Sorry about that so great God that so loved me. I mean, you know, you can't expect us to be here on Wednesdays. And Lord, you know, I know you're the so great God that the so loved the world has so shown us so great mercy and removed our sins so far from us. But man, I hope the preacher don't expect us to do anything more than we're doing. You got a so great salvation. And you know what? This year we're going to remind ourselves over and over, God is not just good, he is so good. And if he's willing to put that kind of a focus and that kind of an effort, maybe we ought to stop offering him packaged out of the package ice cream bars. And maybe we ought to stop bringing him Walmart-bought apple pies. And maybe we ought to get up every morning and put a little effort into how we stand before him. And maybe Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 2018 can see not just great things, but so great things. Amen. Amen. Okay, this was the mean part. You didn't know it, but you endured it. You come back tonight, it's going to be the happy part. So don't miss tonight. Don't miss tonight. I'm excited. I mean this. I want to tell you all about it right now, but I'm not. I'm going to tell you tonight. I'm going to tell you something. We're going to give you some opportunities. I'm going to tell you something. I mean, if you've been kind of sitting around chomping at the bit, preachers, I'm telling you, I'm taking people off the leash. I mean, I want you to run. So run. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Thank you for being a so great God. Lord, I'll never understand your so great love and your so great mercy. I don't get it. We're not deserving. Lord, thank you for the so great of salvation. Thank you for removing my sins so far from me. And I pray, Lord, that this year I wouldn't be satisfied, Lord, with a life or an effort, dear Lord, to your cause that would just be crumbs. It doesn't cost anything, doesn't require anything, doesn't challenge me in any new way. Lord, I thank you for the 45 years that you've protected this church and used this church. And I pray, Lord, as we look back and rejoice at what you have done, we'll also put our hand to the plow and be involved in what you are now doing. Bless the invitation, we pray, in Jesus' name.